Joining us on the line from the Sunshine State is Senator Marco Rubio. How's it feel out there, Senator?
It feels good. I mean, we've got a great reception, a lot of energy. Obviously, we'll see what it translates to tomorrow, but we feel real positive about it. I mean, we really do. I wouldn't say otherwise if we didn't. So we have a great team here in Florida and great supporters. A lot of them have already voted, so we feel very positive about it. And obviously, the voters will have the final say tomorrow.
I was asking a question of listeners in the previous hour, and I want to ask the same question of you. Right now, the big subject over the weekend was violence on the campaign trail and this disrupted rally in Chicago that Donald Trump had to cancel, and all of the violence in the air and in conversation. What's the way out? How do we get away from that? Because I don't think the American people like it.
Well, they shouldn't. First of all, let's acknowledge that there is a professional protester class on the left who have been doing this now to people for a while. I mean, they've been shutting out events, shutting down events on college campuses. If there's a speaker they don't agree with, basically creating disruptions to the point where it becomes a security hassle. People have a First Amendment right to have events and to rally. No one has a right to come in and try to physically prevent it from occurring. And that's been happening on college campuses. I reject that. I also think that you have to look at what's happening with Donald Trump's campaign. He's been using offensive language, profanity, going after everyone from a disabled reporter to women to minorities, you name it, now for an extended period of time. But where it's reached a new level is where he's basically encouraging violence at his rallies by talking about having protesters carried out on a stretcher, telling people that if they assault the protester, he'll pay their legal fees. I mean, he may think it's a joke. I don't know what he thinks it is. But I can tell you there are people out there that are not balanced. We don't know what the next step in all of this is. We saw a guy get sucker punched 2 days ago at an event. I mean, this has reached the boiling point. It's very dangerous. And I think the broader issue is the anger that now exists in American politics, which is translating into action in a very negative way. You know, do we want to be a country where we hate each other? A country where Americans hate each other to the point that we can't even vigorously debate some of the most important public policy issues before the country? That's very third worldish. I don't want that to be the kind of politics we have in America.
What's the best way to move toward a more substantive politics? What going forward, we have the big primaries tomorrow. Let's hope that the primaries go well. That means the campaign goes on. What do we do in the campaign to focus on the right things rather than all the distractions?
But see, that's the job of us as candidates, is to elevate the debate. We can't. You know, when you're a leader, whether it's the leader of your campaign, a leader of a movement, a leader of a political party, or a president of the United States, your words have consequences. You influence the debate. You can't, what you say and how you say it has an impact on the way people that are following you react, has an impact on the debate. There comes a real responsibility in assuming that role of a major party candidate as president. And if you use that platform to go to people who are angry and ask them to get even angrier, there are consequences. It's irresponsible. So I think we need leadership that acknowledges that people are angry, acknowledges the circumstances in their lives and why they're angry. But instead of feeding the anger, says to them, here's how we're going to make it better, and here's why you should be hopeful if we can get this done, as opposed to manipulating that anger for purposes of winning an election. We pay a big price for it as a society. But we've reached a point now where you look at the political discourse in America today, especially from Donald Trump, it sounds like a Twitter feed, or it sounds like the comment section in a blog. I mean, it's just not, it is not what we want to become as a country. And I hope we can turn this around before, you know, we'll have to reckon with what this means.
That's Senator Marco Rubio of Florida speaking to us from the campaign trail. One of the things that you hear a lot is people are tremendously afraid of an open convention, a convention where the delegates actually come together and select the best nominee for the party. Your reaction to the prospect that we may very well have a convention where no candidate has a majority on the first ballot?
Well, that's not the ideal outcome. The ideal outcome for us as a party is to have a candidate who ultimately either gets to the majority, has the party coalesce around them, it gives us the strongest possible chance to win. I'd say that was true unless that happens to be Donald Trump. If it's Donald Trump, I can tell you it'll fracture the party. We'll lose in November. So my hope is that of the other three candidates, one of us will be able to emerge, take a majority of the delegates, maybe get over 50% as well, and then coalesce the party around it. That's the ideal outcome. That's not where it seems to be headed right now, and I'm not rooting for it to head in any different direction, but but that's right now kind of where it seems to be headed.
Yeah,
but I hope not. It's not the ideal outcome.
Let me explain to people who are out there that you have not said that people should vote for a John Kasich anywhere else other than Ohio. And the reason that your campaign has indicated that, as I have on this show, is Ohio and Florida are the two winner-take-all states. You still will continue to pick up delegates, won't you, in North Carolina and Missouri and Illinois tomorrow?
Yeah, that's our hope, obviously. And all I said, by the way, about Ohio is that I understand that a voter in Ohio concludes that John Kasich gives us the best chance to beat Trump in Ohio. So they, you know, I understand that they reach that conclusion. I'm not asking them to reach that conclusion. I just understand if they do. But from my perspective in Florida, I know for a fact that the only one who can keep those 99 Florida delegates out of Donald Trump's hands is me. And therefore, I'm asking people who are supporters of Ted Cruz or John Kasich to think about that. Because in essence, in Florida, the fact is, if you vote for Kasich or Cruz, you are voting for Trump. Because they're not even campaigning here.
No, I think that's very, very important for people to understand, is that it's all 99 delegates go to the winner in Florida. And for Donald Trump to win with 35% of the vote, or about a third of the vote, as he has in other places, would be a shame in the Sunshine State. In the moments remaining to us, Senator Rubio, you're speaking to voters in a lot of states. What's the closing pitch? Why should voters vote for you tomorrow?
Look, I recognize people are frustrated at the political class, angry about the direction of our country, and want to see a change. The question is, what is that change all about? Is that change an attitude? We're just going to elect someone who's angry just like you are? Or are we going to elect someone who says anything he wants because it makes you feel good? Or are we going to elect someone who is serious about solving these problems? Because after this election passes, whoever wins better know what they're doing, or things are going to get worse, not better. And I know what I'm doing. That's why I've outlined clear public policies that are reflective of my conservative principles. And if we do what I've outlined, America's going to improve dramatically. People's lives are going to get better. Our country's going to be stronger. Our future is going to be more prosperous and more secure. If we elect the wrong person and nominate the wrong person, like Donald Trump, we're going to lose in November. And that means Hillary Clinton's going to win. And that means the next 4 years are going to look like the last eight. Our country simply cannot afford that. So I think we should be optimistic about our future if we do what needs to be done. And if I'm president, we are going to do what needs to be done.
You said that the next 4 years would look even worse than the last eight, or like the last eight. I think they would be even worse because the Republican Party would be so badly weakened. If there's one issue that you were going to stress to try to unite the party and unite the country early in your presidency, that issue would be?
Well, domestically, it's the national debt. I think we've got to bring our debt under control and have a debt crisis. And I think we need to rebuild the U.S. military. It is being gutted under this president. It leaves us vulnerable. It's unfair to our men and women in uniform. And quite frankly, we're going to have to come back and make up for this, and it's going to cost a lot more money. The most important job of the federal government is our national security, and it can't meet that obligation with the smallest army since World War II, the end of World War II, the smallest Navy in 100 years, and the smallest Air Force in our history. And that's where we're headed right now.
And I should mention to everybody who's listening to us that this is over the weekend, North Korea said that they were developing missiles that could reach Manhattan, not just Seattle and San Francisco, but Manhattan. We had terrorist attacks in Ivory Coast, where 16 people were killed, in Turkey, where Islamic terrorists killed some 30 people. It's a very serious world out there. Think about your vote wherever you happen to be in any of the five states voting.